name is Avi Karn, like Dr. Gilman introduced. Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Gilman. I'm a PhD student in Dr. Sherry Quinn Garcia's lab, and I would like to talk about one of my projects, which I've been involved with during my dissertation. So the title is, as you can see, it's the genetic architecture, I mean genetic control of seed kernel composition in maize and two-centered germplasm. I would like to start with saying that corn addresses the world's needs. Corn is one of the world's most important grain crops in terms of seed production per acre, and it's been widely used. The corn grains are widely used for several applications, starting mostly in the animal feed and food, and biofuel. And the important part of the corn seeds are the endosperm and the embryo. And the most of the corn, most of the starch and proteins are in the embryo, endosperm. Whereas the oil is in the mostly in the embryo. So the question that we are asking in this project work, if we can go back and look in the wild relative, that is the Tiocenti, and look for alleles that can be used for a variety of uses, also to provide us a useful genetic novel genetic resource for plant breeders. So corn was domesticated in southern Mexico from Tiocenti about 7 to 10,000 years ago. There is a very striking difference between the plant and ear architecture in between the corn and Tiocenti. For example, one of the very contrasting differences is the seed architecture. Tiocenti has a very small seed compared to corn. It has a very stony fruit case, and Tiocenti has more diversity than what you see in maize. So the question, the objectives were to look for what alleles were lost or domesticated during the domestication process of maize. For these, the three kernel composition traits, the starch, protein, and oil, and look at how these Tiocenti alleles performed compared with the maize alleles. So Tiocenti has higher protein and fat than compared to the maize inbred and land races, whereas there is it has significantly lower carbohydrate or starch than maize and land races. Similarly, this, again, like seed is quite smaller than what than the normal maize seed. So we developed this novel genetic resource that Tiocenti neoisogenic lines, where we took B73, the maize inbred line, and the Tiocenti with Tiocenti. These pictures were taken in the greenhouse. Since it's Tiocenti is very photosensitive, and to collect the pollen, we have to grow them in the controlled day neutral environment. We crossed the B73 and the Tiocenti to get the F1 that were back crossed for several generations to get the BC4 S2 families or nils. So this entire process has been summarized in one of our publications that was published by one of our postdocs in Plant Genome. So also this is how once we make a cross the progression of the ear architecture. The F1s have the remnants of fruit cases, but as we back cross to the B73, we see there is no remnant of any fruit case. It's mostly like the recurrent parent B73. So the population structure, so there are 10 nils or 10 nil population, which has around 960 plants. So that was developed by crossing the 10 geographically diverse accessions of Arbiglumus onto B73. So on average, the nils are mostly B73, the recurrent parent, and about 2.5% of heterozygous, and about 1 to 3% are only Tiocenti, very small fragments, introgressions of Tiocenti. So I show this example of a few nils we have. So here, the white, the background in this, you see it's mostly B73, whereas small chunks are from the Tiocenti introgressions. So the next thing we did was we wanted to do a high throughput, develop this model using phenotyping model using NIR and NMR. We wanted to do a non-destructive phenotyping for the three to phenotype the three composition traits, starch, protein, and oil. So the NIR seemed to work, had a better calibration model for to phenotype starch and protein, whereas oil, NMR seemed to be much promising for the oil. I used the NIR and NMR models to predict the whole seeds from the trials we had. So after you see that these are the distributions of the seed kernel compositions, the starch, protein, oil. We do see there's a skewness in this distribution of these three traits. For example, protein and oil seem to be skewed to the right, whereas the starch seem to is skewed to the left. So as you remember the profile I showed, we assume that the tiocentin allele tend to decrease the starch, whereas increasing the protein and oil. So I also looked at the seed composition trait, the correlation between these three traits. I see a strong negative correlation between starch and protein, whereas there's some negative correlation for protein and oil, and starch, protein and oil, and oil and starch. This is due to this. There's a trade-off between the seed starch and protein, because most of the starch and protein is in the endosperm, the mid kernels, whereas oil is mostly in the embryo. The next thing I did was we did a joint linkage QTL analysis to do the mapping study for the seed kernel composition traits. So here I have the line plot showing the log scores and the chromosome and the genetic distance. So we do see several peaks that were, like here I show the red for line for starch, protein, blue, and green for oil. I highlighted them, the significant QTL that were significant for these traits with the asterisks or stars. One of the biggest QTL was on chromosome 6. Whereas the second that was significant for all the three traits were on chromosome 3. Mm-hmm. I found few QTLs for stars and protein, very few QTL, and that explained very smaller amount of phenotypic variation. It's because the statistical power, there's not enough statistical power in nils. Also, we think it's because of epistasis. So the missing heritability is because of epistasis. And so I have a poster tomorrow. It's a 1414 number at 4 p.m. where I have done epistasis work looking at how the rare alleles from tiocentin are involved in epigenetic interactions. I would love to talk to you about this next another project that I have going on. I also wanted to look at how the QTLs, profile of the QTLs look like when we look at the compare with the NAM. So this is a circles plot where I show the E circle, I show the chromosomes and the outer circle where it's A, and B is the markers that were used in the genetic map, and the QTL peaks from the tiocentin nils. And the next thing is I put the inner circle showing that NAM is a nested association mapping population, which consists of families, very diverse inbred maze lines. So in this, I do see that the largest QTL in the NILS, what we see on chromosome 6, was the largest QTL on chromosome 6 that was found in NAM. Also, we see this very interesting QTL that was significant for all the three traits, which is not present that we didn't find in NAM, and we assume that this is due to this allele was lost during the domestication process. The next thing we wanted to look at the additive effect of the tiocentin alleles. So I have the effect color coded, red meaning higher, blue meaning the lower. I have these 10 founders that were used to develop the tiocentin nils. So I have the chromosomes and the markers that were significant for the individual traits. Like we had expected, that the protein and oil, most of the tucent allele would increase the protein and oil, except the one on chromosome 2. Similarly, for starch, we see that several of the significant effects are in decreased starch, but there are a few that didn't appear to be, they didn't turn out to be significant, that does increase the starch, which one could use to improve the yield. Also, I point out the big effects of tucent alleles tend to have a bigger effect, much bigger effect, in increasing protein and also decreasing the starch. I also looked at these are the QTL profiles. I looked at compared these results from NAM population and the tucent alleles. We do see that tucent alleles have fewer QTLs than what we see in NAMs. But comparing the effect of these QTLs, we see tucent alleles have a bigger and wider effect than what we see in NAMs. So I also looked at the putative candidate genes that underlie the major QTLs. So chromosome 6, this region was the one of the best, biggest QTL that we see both in NAM, which was shared with NAM. It is a DGAT1 gene, like Dr. Kresovic just talked about. It's involved in the glycerol lipid biosynthesis pathway, or oil pathway, biosynthesis pathway. The second largest QTL was on chromosome 3, and it turned out to be tucent specific. It is a tucent specific. And I looked up, we find this GPAT, which is also involved in the glycerol lipid biosynthesis pathway. This region was significant for the protein content. We see a clusters of storage protein. Similarly, this marker was significant for starch content, and we see a classical waxy gene to be involved. So in conclusion, we did find very few QTLs compared to what we see in NAM, and explaining very few, less phenotypic variation. But we do see there is a large, and these tucent alleles have very large and wider allelic effect than what we see in NAM population. So tucent, the wild variety form, does harbor this stronger and novel alleles that plant breeders can utilize to improve the seed composition trait. So with that, I would like to acknowledge the entire Dr. Sheldon Garcia's lab for their support, and Dr. Ed Buckler for growing one of our tucent allele trials, and Dr. Gilman, who has generously collaborated on this project to let me work on the NMR calibration, and Dr. Mark Campbell for collaborating on NIR calibration. And I would like to thank USDA and MU for funding, and I'll take questions.
Do we have time for questions? Mike, again.
Thank you for the talk. I didn't notice any analysis of correlation with seed size, seed weight. We often see compositional traits, inverse relationship between seed size and that.
Okay. I have not looked at it, but the alleles are very uniform. They look like the recurrent parent. There's a very small difference with the you know, like you, when I was just visually looking, comparing, I have not done the statistics. So it would be interesting to look at it.
In particular, when you get, you know, all your traits lined up with the common UTL, you can sort of be concerned about other traits that might be contributing to that.
So if I understand correctly, you're asking, look at how the QTL profile for kernel weight would look like with the seed composition. I didn't understand. So yes, we have done it. We do see the one of the QTLs for kernel weight could be, you know, shared with the protein and oil on chromosome 1. We do see that, an overlap.
The other obvious question is, have you looked at grain yield and the impact of these?
I have not, but that's... Maybe that should maybe another grad student.
Yeah. So you have mentioned you have focused on starch, oil, and protein, and you you guys also consider to check for essential amino acids like methionine, lysine, and has there been a particular trend associated with the essential amino acids with oil, protein?
So I when I started this project in grad school, I really wanted to look at, you know, there's a deficiency in, like, you know, lysine, and so I wanted to look at, and we wanted to go with a non-destructive approach, meaning we wanted to phenotype with the NIR or different. So unfortunately, that's just still an idea, and I would love someone like maybe a grad student can look at those traits, like amino acid profile, and do this, look at how it looks like on the nails. So we have definitely thought about that. But
one more quick question. So you have different needs and then different generations. So have you guys also considered scanning those different generations for NIR to check different content?
That is a very good thing. I have not, but yes. When I started, I keep saying when I started grad school, this developed one of the synthetics. There's another population that I was involved in developing that population, but this was already made and developed, I would say. So, I have not got an opportunity to look for the seed composition while it was being in that development stage.
Okay.